ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This episode is one from our archives. Just a heads up, today's episode deals with a lot of sexual content. Specifically, we're talking about masturbation. So if you have little ones listening in, proceed with caution. You know, cornflakes, the breakfast cereal, plain, crunchy. You wouldn't call it delicious, exactly, or something you're likely to crave, but, you know, they're perfectly nice and unremarkable. All of these qualities, they are very much the point of cornflakes. They're by design. And you'll understand why once you learn about the bizarre beliefs of one of its co-creators.
It is such an incredible story and one that is such a good icebreaker at a party. Now, Kellogg was a Seventh-day Adventist.
Kellogg being Dr. John Harvey Kellogg. He and his brother founded the Kellogg's Breakfast Company.
He had this idea of bodily pleasure being connected to sin. And so one of his theories was that sugary, tasty food increased one's libido and made one quite horny and in need of a sexy hand.
Just so we're clear, sexy hand as in masturbation. She means masturbation.
Foods that were bland, on the other hand,
unintentional pun,
could quell your need for sexual reprieve.
And was this based on any evidence at all?
Absolutely not. It was based on his wishful thinking. But that being said, do you know anyone who has ever felt turned on after eating a bowl of cornflakes?
I mean, so, no.
No, maybe there was some logic to it.
Yeah, right. So the idea was that cornflakes, because they were bland, would stop people's urges to masturbate. Now, in the interest of total accuracy, this might not have been the original exclusive purpose of cornflakes. There's evidence the cereal was actually created to help with indigestion, a less exciting origin story. But John Kellogg was also quite vocal about his beliefs that bland diets helped stop sexy urges, specifically masturbation. And cornflakes was part of that diet.
Cornflakes, you know, caught on. And I think that the success of cornflakes and the Kellogg's brand in general stands as testament to how widely publicized and popular methods of anti-masturbatory meals and methods were at the time. It was something we were really concerned about.
This is All in the Mind. I'm Sana Qadar. For as long as we have existed, we have probably masturbated.
We are a primate. We are a large ape, to be specific. So a lot of the reasons that humans might masturbate are probably rooted in our evolutionary history.
And for many people, masturbating is their first sexual experience.
So that's why masturbation is very important. And I continue to use in my clinical work, taking a thorough history of masturbation.
And despite what Kellogg and his ilk thought, masturbation hasn't always been considered deviant or disordered behavior.
It was seen as a social good. It was something that you could pour your sexual energy into to stop you committing adultery.
And yet, it's also true that many people still have hang-ups about it.
As a psychosexual therapist, you get to see a lot of people thinking they have something abnormal.
So today, from disordered behavior to good for you, we track our evolving attitudes towards masturbation in this episode and delve into the shame and confusion that can still exist. Before 1712, the word masturbate didn't exist, although the behavior sure did.
If you go back to different civilizations all throughout history, like ancient Egypt, ancient Greece, masturbation wasn't just considered something that was normal, but it was actually considered a social good. In places like ancient Greece, they had these conceptions that masturbation was something that we should practice because it was able to satisfy our sexual needs. And if our sexual needs are satisfied with or without a partner, that would stop us doing things like committing adultery, which was something they were really trying to fight against at the time.
This is Esme Louise James, PhD candidate, sex historian, author of Kinky History, and TikTok superstar.
Welcome to Kinky History. Let's discuss the history of giving head.
Her funny and frank videos about the history of sex have earned her nearly 2.5 million followers on TikTok and about 500,000 over on Instagram.
And of course, we can never have a conversation about the history of sex without mentioning ancient Greece.
The same thing goes in cultures from ancient Sumeria, for example, and they believe that practicing self-pleasure would increase your sexual potency. So the more often that you were able to masturbate, the more likely you were to be fertile and be able to have children. So there was this idea of masturbation being a very healthy part of the human experience, which we now know from scientific studies today is entirely accurate.
So when and why did it start to become a taboo?
So the war on masturbation, if we had to give it a set date, is in 1712. This is when we have a publication called Onea, the heinous sin of self-pollution comes out. Now, in this fantastic publication, written by a pseudo-surgeon, as we now call him.
This was a guy named John Martin, and he was an Englishman.
We basically have this treatise basically saying that masturbation is everything wrong with humankind. It is the thing that can make you go blind. That was a huge concern in the early modern period, that you could go blind. It's also believed to give you epilepsy, give you cancer, just anything that could possibly go wrong, masturbation is the cause of it. And when this comes out, it really causes a lot of a stir. Even though the rest of what this surgeon did in his life has been widely discredited, this is one thing that we just took away from the whole endeavor. And this publication led to the rise of other publications discussing the sinfulness of masturbation.
So before this pamphlet and this guy, were there not religious ideas, like Christian ideas, about the sinfulness of masturbation already? Like, did he just turbocharge it?
The idea of body being connected to sin is something that we see through the last 1,000 years of human history. But what's really interesting is that masturbation is kind of left out of the equation. While we have these constant negotiations about what it means to have sex and to have sex with other people, other genders, that's constantly in discussion, masturbation just kind of slips through the cracks. So much so that it takes until this publication in 1712 for the term masturbation to even be coined. Up until then, it was really just, as I say, such a normal part of the human experience that we didn't even think to give it a name.
And so, okay, in the 1700s, this taboo emerges, at least in the West. How did things progress from there?
Progressively worse and worse would be the non-official answer to that question.
So what happens over the next couple of hundred years? Well, here's a very brief overview. You get Kellogg pushing bland anti-masturbation diets.
Kellogg said that you could literally die by your own hand, which is a phrase that I love so much.
You get Victorian morality. Things really started to go downhill for women in particular, though, once doctors learned that a female orgasm wasn't strictly necessary for a woman to become pregnant.
And if women's orgasm is not needed, then we need to stop her touching herself because it serves no social purpose other than giving her pleasure.
Basically, masturbation enters its deviant and disordered era. And the hangover from this time period lingers today.
So I was an early masturbator. I started like at 7 or 8, and my earliest memory is getting caught by my dad, but he just kind of ignored it.
I went to an all-girls private school in Sydney, and the topic of masturbation was taboo other than denouncing it as gross.
I grew up in Brisbane in the 90s in what can only be described as a puritanical household. The thought of sex being for pleasure, let alone anything being for self-pleasure, was completely foreign to me.
And that was generally the vibe among the girls. It was just like a gross, like, kind of thing.
And of course, no one culture or religion has a monopoly on ideas about masturbation being bad or wrong.
And they never explicitly talked to me about masturbation, but I learned a lot from like Sunday school and maybe through hearsay or other Muslims that if you masturbated, you'd go to hell. And I always just thought, well, I'm going to go to hell for this, but it won't be the same hot hell as the one you go to for premarital sex.
And I think back in the day, the mags we used to read, like Girlfriend and Cosmo, were more into how to deliver a good blowjob instead of how to pleasure oneself.
Now, I just want to make one thing clear. We're not looking to judge any one person's beliefs about masturbation in this episode. Like, if you think it's sinful or wrong for whatever reason, that's your prerogative. What we want to explore, though, is the distress that can arise when a person's beliefs about masturbation conflict with their behavior. And we'll get into that in a whole lot more detail in a moment. But first, a word on the benefits of masturbation. Because as ancient civilizations knew intimately, pun, and modern science now proves, there are all kinds of benefits that can come from the behavior, for men and women. For example, it can help with stress relief and improve your mood because masturbating releases endorphins, which are the group of hormones that make us feel pleasure and well-being. There's also evidence that it might help lower the risk of prostate cancer, help ease menstrual cramps, help with sleep. And a number of studies have found a link between masturbation and positive body image, especially in women. Now, I've taken most of these facts from the Queensland Department of Health website. They have a page titled Give Yourself a Hand, The Health Benefits of Masturbation, which makes me wonder if perhaps we're back to seeing the act as a potential social good. In certain corners, anyways.
Right. Can I start by saying today, the day we are recording, 4th of September is World Sexual Health Day?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And every year we have a different theme. And this year the theme is positive relationship. Now, when you hear the word relationship, we jump into thinking two or more people. Mm-hmm. But I would like to bring it back. It's a relationship that you have with yourself.
Right.
The relationship between mind and body.
This is Dr. Vijay Ramanathan, sex therapist and senior lecturer in sexual health, sexology at the University of Sydney.
So you can loop back relationship within an individual. Mm. And I think masturbation sits right in there. Because when you masturbate, most people touch their genitalia. Not everyone.
It's kind of part of it, right? Oh, really?
Part of it. But the main sex organ is not the one that is down under. It's the brain,
okay.
Right?
I was like, what are you talking about? Where is this organ?
Well, the largest organ in the body is skin. Right. And the main organ is brain. If you connect these two, the skin could become a very important sex organ.
Mm.
And touch is the strongest sense in the body. So when you combine all of this, masturbation becomes a very powerful act and experience. And it connects the mind, body, and the spirit. If those who believe in spirit, masturbation, when you elicit pleasure, when you get aroused, when you feel it, when you sense it, it's actually a great mind-body connection.
I've never heard masturbation described this way as such a whole-body spiritual kind of thing. I love it, though.
That's great. Right.
Dr. Vijay says to derive the most benefit out of masturbation, it can help to engage in mindful masturbation.
It's not a routine pleasure. Just open up a window, watch a porn, just sit in the same position, do exactly the same thing without paying attention to anything. Whereas sex therapists, we use what is called mindful masturbation, where you actually pay respect. If you like it so much, give some due importance to it.
Okay.
Touch the whole body, touch different parts of the body, enjoy it. Appreciate the pleasure, appreciate the thoughts and feelings that comes to your mind. And that's why it's so relaxing. So one major benefit, it's relaxing.
And so, right, there are clearly benefits and it can be relaxing and all of that.
Mm.
But obviously masturbation can be a source of a lot of mental distress for certain mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. especially if you are inclined to feel shame around it or think that it's wrong. Can you talk about the distress that masturbation can cause?
Why is that we are somehow making the behavior is the problem here? When people say, I'm distressed about masturbation, What are they distressed about? That's a question we need to ask. Now, this is how I would explain to my clients. There are three different scenarios, three possible scenarios.
These scenarios have to do with how a person's thoughts, feelings, and behavior interact. Here's scenario one.
A person who thinks masturbation is absolutely great, fantastic, healthy, no issues whatsoever. Feelings, they feel good while they masturbate. They feel good after they finish masturbating. Behavior, they continue to masturbate at whatever regular interval they prefer to and they can do. In scenario one, there is no problem whatsoever.
Then in scenario two,
the person thinks masturbation is absolutely wrong. Could be health reasons, could be religious reasons. Health reasons, we don't have to go convince them. If they think it's not healthy, so be it. We respect their position on it.
Okay.
Feelings, they know if they masturbate, they'll feel very bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Against their values. They don't masturbate. Scenario two is absolutely fine.
Right. So you don't feel the need to counter their ideas around health and the rest.
If they want to seek clarification, we do. But sex therapist, we don't necessarily shove it on their face, you must masturbate. We
right.
can't make it as a condition. And that's a general counseling in any mental health field. We don't become too prescriptive. If for that particular person, if it's against their values, so be it.
Okay.
Now, these two scenarios, have you seen any problems so far?
No, the person who's happy is happy doing
happy.
It. The person who's not happy doing it
Correct.
Doesn't do it.
Now, listen to the third scenario.
Right.
The person thinks masturbation is somewhat okay, but still holds on to some deep beliefs and values that it could be wrong. It could end up in some problem. The feeling is while they masturbate, they feel nice.
Mm-hmm.
But constantly thinking whether there's something could be happen, but that intense sexual arousal and stimulation masks that, so they feel nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment they ejaculate or finish the act of masturbation, they feel terrible.
Hmm.
Oh my God, I've done it again. I couldn't control myself. But that feeling hasn't stopped them from masturbating the day after.
Right, they can't.
They go back because the stimulation, the urge comes up again. So this scenario is the complicated.
Right.
So there is a strong conflict between the thoughts and feelings. So they are going to feel stressed about it.
And are most of the clients who come to you for help, by the time they see you, are they in that scenario?
I would say 70 to 80% are.
Okay, wow.
And I don't want to paint this as something very cultural. I do get a lot of men of all cultures in the scenario three.
Okay, so with clients, the ones who are conflicted but still doing it, what do you advise they do, or how do you work through that? Well, is it about talking about mindful masturbation or,
First of all, we need to find out whether they are willing to align.
Okay.
Because we use person-centered approach. I can identify, look, this is what causing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the behavior. It's how you think and how you feel. Would you like to work on that? Oh, yeah. So then we can say which one is easier to change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes we have to talk about routine pleasure versus rewarding pleasure. Sometimes it's not the act of masturbation or thoughts or feelings. None of this is problematic. But the timing at which they do is problematic. They have a whole lot of homework or work or tasks to do. But the urge is so powerful, they want to masturbate.
Right.
Once they masturbate, they feel tired, which is a natural thing, which is a good thing. But that tiredness, they want to go relax, watch a movie.
Right.
Now, what that means, their homework or task is getting pushed on.
Mm.
Now, they are getting stressed about that, but they are blaming it on masturbation.
Mm.
Masturbation never asks you to do at that particular time. You chose to do that.
Right.
However, we don't have to change anything except for one thing. How about you finish your tasks for the day, and because you have done all your homework or tasks, you masturbate and then you go relax.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changing that mentality about masturbation.
This is All in the Mind on ABC Radio National. I'm Sana Qajar. Now, I just want to expand your thinking about masturbation for a moment, because This is a behaviour that has been part of the sexual repertoire of animals, human and non-human, for millions of years.
So many animals, and mammals in particular, have spontaneous erections and masturbatory behaviours of all different sorts, like cats, dogs, rhinoceros, like 80 species of primate.
Oh my God.
It seems like everybody likes to pleasure themselves.
I mean, get it, girl.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you can think of the animal, it probably does it.
If you're an avid listener of ABC Science podcasts, you'll know who this is. It's Dr. Ann Jones, professional nature nerd and host of What the Duck, a show that explores the mysteries of nature. And they're doing a whole series on sexual behavior in the animal kingdom called Sex is Weird.
In evolutionary time sense, we're not that far separate from any of these creatures, really.
Yeah.
The Earth is like 4.5 billion years old and modern humans are only 600 million years, right? So, like, it's a tiny little, we're a blip on the radar of the sexual history of Earth.
Yeah. And do all animals do this? Or are there some that we know just don't?
I just tend to think that it's probably things that we haven't observed.
Okay. And so, and why do they do it? Is it like same reasons as humans?
Yeah, well, yeah, in some ways. In the literature, what seems to be is there's this idea that they might be, say, bulls or stallions might be avoiding aggression and it'll help them relax. So this is something you hear about in humans. I think it helps people relax so that they can go to sleep, perhaps, you know?
Right, yeah.
And in fact, with those bulls, in one of the studies, they found that they spent more time each day masturbating than self-grooming.
Oh, wow.
But the masturbation happened just before the workers got to the barn and just after the workers left the barn. They did it
in private. Wow.
When they were nice and relaxed. There was no stresses in their environment. So that sort of puts paid to some of that thing of you do it when you're feeling really aggressive, because actually they were doing it when they were perhaps feeling really relaxed.
Okay, and what do we know about female animals?
Well, in female primates, masturbation happens in 42% of all of the genera, so all of the little families of the tree. So, like, has been observed. And Jane Goodall, the famous primatologist, noted that as she was observing, the females were rubbing themselves and laughing softly. So they enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's really got to be the main hypothesis. But like humans, there's really complex politics and culture around mate selection and sex. So it would not surprise me if we didn't uncover more complications about this in the future.
Let's stick with primates for another minute, since they are our ancestors. And a study published last year by researchers in the UK found masturbation was a behaviour that could be traced back 40 million years. The authors found this by trawling through hundreds of studies and notes about masturbating primates from primatologists and zookeepers, and then mapping that info onto the primate evolutionary tree.
So a lot of the reasons that humans might masturbate are probably rooted in our evolutionary history.
This is evolutionary biologist Matilda Brindle, who was the lead author on that study. And she says why the behavior evolved isn't totally clear, but there are a few hypotheses. One being that masturbation could boost the chances for a male to impregnate a female, especially lower-ranking males who might have a very small window in which to ejaculate before a higher-ranking male comes along.
And a really good strategy for these males basically is to keep themselves aroused so that if they do get a chance to mate, then they're able to ejaculate much faster and have a lower chance of getting beaten up and a higher chance of actually finishing with the female.
In females, one theory is that masturbating might make the vagina more hospitable to sperm.
So lots of animals, for example, lots of species of primate have what's called a multi-male, multi-female mating system, where basically they're all mating with each other in a group. And so in this instance, if a female is already mating with lots of males, one idea is that masturbation might actually increase arousal. And in females, they can actually use masturbation to basically be choosy about which male they're fertilized by if they're mating with multiple males. So in humans, at least, during the course of arousal, the vaginal pH becomes a lot more neutral. Normally, the vagina is mildly acidic, basically to keep out any nasty pathogens. But The flip side of this is that if it's keeping out pathogens, then it's probably not great for sperm either. So this is why when females become aroused, the vagina becomes basically a little bit more hospitable to sperm.
So these might be some of the evolutionary underpinnings for why we masturbate. But regardless of what science might tell us, deeply held beliefs can be hard to shake. And the taboo around masturbation isn't just a vestige of the past.
I think even the most sex-positive people in our society have still had to go through a big process of unlearning this sense of guilt and shame that has been associated now for, as I say, two centuries.
And there are many ideas I do come across every now and then where people have put excessive importance and value to semen. People don't understand not everything that they spill is sperm, right? It's only 5% sperm. Everything else is just a liquid. But historically, culturally, there's a lot of emphasis put on the ejaculate. Mm-hmm. So it's like every time you ejaculate, you're killing 100 people, just as an example.
Right.
So don't do it. It's a sin.
So misguided ideas
around. Misguided ideas. Going back to my tagline, thoughts are not facts. We need to question. Yeah, it's a thought, but is it a fact?
I think it's an interesting one. For me, one of the really, really important messages that's come from this research is that masturbation is common across the animal kingdom. It occurs in both females and males, happens in the wild as well as in captivity. And I think this is a very strong counter to the argument put forward by some people that masturbation is abnormal or even unnatural. Clearly, this couldn't be further from the truth. I imagine some people will put forward the argument that, well, animals do it and we should be above animals and therefore we shouldn't do it. But frankly, we are an animal. You know, I'm not encouraging people to be discussing it over breakfast, but I think the shame that a lot of people hold, hopefully this research can help dismiss some of that.
But the main takeaway is that it has always been a part of the human experience and will continue to be part of the human experience. And therefore, it's really important for us to have a good understanding about how we can engage with it in a healthy and ethical way.
That is All in the Mind for this week. Thanks to Esme Louise James, PhD candidate at the University of Melbourne, sex historian and TikTok content creator. Thanks also to sex therapist and senior lecturer at the University of Sydney, Dr. Vijay Ramanathan, and to evolutionary biologist Matilda Brindle from Oxford University in the UK. And I can't forget Dr. Anne Jones, host of the ABC podcast What the Duck. Her series on sex in the animal kingdom is called Sex is Weird. So to listen to that, just search for What the Duck on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can hear that series. All in the Mind is produced by Rose Kerr and senior producer James Bullen. It's also produced and presented by me, Sana Kadar. And our sound engineer this week was Beth Stewart. And hey, if you're a fan of All in the Mind, we're always on the hunt for new stories on the show. So if you've had something remarkable or unusual or amazing happen in your life that's linked to the brain or human behavior or psychology, we want to hear about it. Email us on mind_rn@abc.net.au. We can't guarantee we'll include the story, but plenty of stories have made it into our show that have come through our inbox. All right, thank you for listening this week. I will catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.